Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Merry third day of Christmas. Every year, I'll do it every year, until we all remember that there are 12 days of Christmas, which begin when the sun sets on the 24th. So even though they packaged away Christmas, we are still celebrating. The church also today is celebrating a very important man, a man by whom Jesus Christ worked. That man was called to be his disciple, his apostle, and then also an evangelist. That is St. John. St. John penned many words in our scriptures. We use the Alleluia and verse from John chapter 20. It comes from Divine Service 4, so it might not be familiar, but it is by his hand. We used the Confession and Absolution today, words that also came from his hand. St. John is a very interesting fellow. You've heard me in the past mention that he refers to himself in his gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved. What a great way to designate yourself if you're going to write a book, the disciple whom Jesus loved. John also included that he got to the place, the tomb, before St. Peter, because he was faster and younger, he said. So St. John was this disciple whom Jesus loved. But there are some great, great things about him that you may not remember. And so today, it's going to be a Bible study and a sermon all in one. So St. John was the brother of James. James and John were the sons of Zebedee and Salome. They were fishermen by trade. There was a close friendship between himself and his master. He was the only one of the 12 who did not abandon Jesus at his crucifixion. He sat at the foot of the cross with Mary, Jesus' mother. And in fact, Christ gave his mother into John's care and keeping. And so she lived with St. John all the rest of the days of her life. He lived for a time in Jerusalem and finally settled in Ephesus. He wrote three letters. He wrote Revelation and the gospel that bears his name. Oftentimes when you see him symbolized, you see an eagle, one of the four living creatures, for his gospel soars high above the other three in its witness to the eternal word. He includes the conversation with Nicodemus, from which we get that gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have the bread of life discourse, the good shepherd, and the rising of Lazarus. According to church tradition, John was the only one of his apostles that was not at the death of a martyr. They tried, though. They actually boiled him alive, and yet he was unharmed. And so he would go into exile, where he would get the revelation that bears his name, the revelation to St. John. And as a very old man, John was actually carried to his church. It shows the devotion of men and women to their church and to their God, that he even had to be carried week after week to attend to these things. St. John also had disciples. Many people in those days had followers, those who would learn. The word disciple means pupil or student, and so there were many who sat at his foot listening and learning. Two of the best known are Ignatius of Antioch and Polycarp of Smyrna. Now, while those names might just sound fun to say, they're actually very important in church history. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them too. St. Ignatius was a student of St. John, and at his time, there was a persecution that arose. Ignatius was arrested and brought in chains to Rome to be fed to the wild beasts in the Colosseum so that onlookers could have fun watching Christians die. During the long journey to Rome, Ignatius had time to write to 6 different churches and to his beloved Polycarp. See, these disciples of St. John were also friends. In these letters, several themes emerge. Ignatius urges, for the sake of unity, that the churches submit in humility to their bishops. As befits a disciple of St. John, he constantly urged the churches toward love for one another. A genuine love that befits the name of Christian. He speaks of the Eucharist, that is, the Lord's Supper, often and always in terms of being the same body and blood that were offered on Calvary for the redemption of the world. He warns against false teachers. He urges the Christians to shut their ears if anyone should come preaching to them something other than Jesus Christ, descended from David, born of the Virgin, crucified for the world, and raised from the dead. His letter to the Romans is perhaps his most influential, extolling the glory of martyrdom. He begs the church there not to interfere, but rather to pray that he may indeed die a death that bears witness to the Lord Jesus and his resurrection victory. A man who in the face of death said, "Do not intervene, may I die confessing Jesus Christ with my lips and with my heart." St. Polycarp was another defender of the faith, a bishop as well. He was also martyred for being a Christian. Martyred at the age of 86. He said, right before he was martyred, he said these words, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Savior?" This man confessed Jesus. He was burned at the stake, and when that did not take his life, he was also stabbed with a spear. They so mutilated him and then would not let his followers bury him. Regardless of what happened to Ignatius, to Polycarp, and the fact that God kept St. John alive to continue confessing the faith, for you remember St. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." We are reminded that these men defended the faith. But it wasn't for their own sake that we remember them. Rather, we remember them for what Jesus Christ has done to them and through them. And that is why all 3 of our lessons for today are written by the hand of St. John, given to him by the Holy Spirit. "He bears witness to the word of God," he writes. "This is the testimony of Jesus Christ. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." In his first epistle, he reminds us that he declares this fellowship, that we may have fellowship with him and with Christ. "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." The death of a man hung on a cross, written to you that your joy may be full. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are walking in that fellowship here today as we continue celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was born to die and rise again for our sins. You know the words that come next. We confess them this morning as we confessed our sins. St. John continues by saying, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Part of being a Christian is not thinking that you are sinless, but rather knowing that you are full of sin, but yet you have a Savior from that sin. Knowing that when you fail, you have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, as St. John writes. He is righteous, and his righteousness is given to us through our baptism, through absolution. and through the very body and blood of Jesus. We must walk in this light so that we do not make Jesus a liar. Far be it from us to make our God and Savior a liar. We must acknowledge our need for a Savior, the law, and then the gospel. Jesus said that he would come again. St. John believed those words, as did Polycarp and Ignatius, as do all Christians from then till now and into the future. This is our sure and certain hope. This is what allows us to face death, knowing that there is something that comes after it. Knowing that we do not need to be afraid, but knowing that no matter what comes, there is still a light. A light that cannot be destroyed by the darkness. The light of Jesus Christ. This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. You might look at the scriptures and say, this is a long book to read. And yet St. John says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He said, there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So sure was his hope in his Lord. This disciple whom Jesus loved is a blessing to his church, a blessing that we hear even today, 2,000 years later, a blessing to his disciples, a blessing all the way down to the babies yet to be born. And so we rejoice this day, this third day of Christmas, in our risen Lord, who has conquered death on our behalf. And so the church sings, for your beloved disciple, exiled to Patmos shore, and for his faithful record, we praise you evermore. Praise for the mystic vision through him to us revealed. May we in patience waiting with your elect be sealed. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.